Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salam ala ishrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Amma ba'd.
When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father Abu Quhafa found out that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had left, he went to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he knocked on the door, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's daughter Asma radiallahu anha opened the door. And Abu Quhafa wasn't a Muslim at that time, and he said, "Oh my daughter, I've heard my son has left and he's taken all the wealth with him and he has left nothing behind. And you know, if it was anybody, one of us, if it was anybody else, they would have said, yeah, that's exactly what he did. He left nothing for us." Because the narration mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had 4,000 to 5,000 dirhams and he took every single thing with him. And Abu Quhafa was blind, and Asma radiallahu anhu, she brought him inside and she put some stones in a sack. And she said, "Oh my grandfather, touch the sack. Look how much wealth he's left behind for us." And Abu Quhafa, he touched the sack and said, "Subhanallah." He said, "He's left wealth for you. If it was any one of us really, and our father or our family had spent half of their money for deen, a portion of the money of deen, we would have said, look what he's done. He's left us with nothing." But these were people who believed that whatever you gave in the path of Allah, Allah would store it for you and you would attain it in the hereafter. And Abu Quhafa, he embraced Islam when the Muslims conquered Makkah. And when he embraced Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu turned around to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I swear by Allah, it would be more pleasing to me that if Abu Talib, your uncle, had embraced Islam rather than my father, because it would have been the coolness of your eyes." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, indeed Abu Bakr, you have spoken the truth, that he would have rather have the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embracing Islam than his own father." Why? Because this would be more pleasing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See, Medina was north of Makkah. So Makkah was here, Medina was up here. And what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is that when he left for Hijrah, Ghar Thawr was south. So he went south, because naturally the mushrikeen would think that he's going to Medina, so they would chase him and they would go north. But see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most intelligent of people. There was no man on the face of this earth who had more tawakkul than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no man on the face of this earth who trusted in Allah more than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was a reality. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had walked north, the mushrikeen would not have been able to stop him, because he had to finish his message. And there was nothing which could stop him from finishing that message. But the Prophet ﷺ wanted to show the ummah that although you have tawakkul, you have to be intelligent. Because there are certain times when you are weak and there are certain times when you are strong. And when you are weak, you have to use your intelligence. And maybe at that time you have to slightly humble yourself. And therefore, instead of going north, he went south. And really, you compare that to the Muslims today. How often do you see, you know, enthusiastic youngsters coming on your national TV and blabbing on the deluded zeal, where they come on national TV, they can't do jack. Everybody knows they can't do jack. We're gonna do this and we're gonna do that. And not only do they do a disservice to themselves, they do a disservice to the Muslims. It's a reality. They do a disservice to the Muslims. All the Muslims have to suffer because a few deluded zealots out there. And they come, "We're going to do this. You can't do it, jack." Then that's a reality. But unfortunately, their zeal takes over and they become deluded by the zeal. And because they don't understand the precepts and the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ could have walked north and nobody could have stopped him, because he had to finish the message, because he was the final messenger ﷺ. But he went south because he wanted to show the believers that this is how it works. You have to be intelligent. And what the mushrikeen did, they went north. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the cave with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the mushrikeen had this expert tracker with them. He saw the footsteps Or they saw the footsteps near the cave. And he said, follow these footsteps. And when they came close, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he became very anxious. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, if these people look at the place of their feet, they will find us. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, ma dhannuka bi ithnain Allahu thalithuhuma. He said, Abu Bakr, what is your opinion regarding those two who Allah is the third of? What is your opinion regarding those two that Allah is the third? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses in the Quran regarding this. Thaniya ithnain, idh huma fil ghar, idh yaqulu li sahibihi, la tahzan inna Allah ma'an. When idh huma fil ghar, and they were in the cave, and he said to his companion, look at the honor that Allah gave to the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the only man who Allah referred to as the companion of the Prophet was Abu Bakr. When he said to his companion, they were in the cave, La tahzan inna Allah ma'an, do not be saddened, do not be grieved, Allah is with us. Subhanallah, Allah is with us. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam left Fir'aun and they came to the river, and in front of them was the river, and they couldn't go over the river, and behind they turned around and the huge Fir'aun's army was behind them. The entire army was behind them, and they looked back and they turned to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, Inna la mudraqoon, that we will be caught, what can we do? Behind us is a large army and in front of us is the river. Where are we gonna go? Inna la mudraqoon. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, Kalla, never. Inna Rabbi ma'ya, my Lord is with me. My Lord is with me. You compare that. The entire Israelites are with him. The entire believers are with him. And he says, Inna Rabbi ma'ya. Inna Rabbi ma'ya, that my Lord is with me. And for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what does Allah say? La tahzan inna Allah ma'an. Prophet ﷺ is telling Abu Bakr, and Allah mentions it in the Quran, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Do not worry, Allah is with us. When it's regarding the Israelites, Musa ﷺ says, Allah is with me. He doesn't say it's with us. And when it comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Allah mentions it in the Quran, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. He's not just with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why upon occasion a person came to Hassan radiallahu anhu, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, and he began to run down Abu Bakr, and he said, Abu Bakr was like this, and Abu Bakr was like this, and he began to extol the virtues of Hassan radiallahu anhu's father Ali. He said, Ali should have been the next Khalif. And Hassan radiallahu anhu said, Oh my friend, have you read the Quran? Have you seen the Quran? Have you not heard what Allah says regarding Abu Bakr? Have you not read these verses when he says that do not worry that Allah is with us? Has Allah ever revealed anything like similar to this regarding my father? This was specific to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And for 3 days they remained in the cave. For 3 days they remained in the cave. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, if all the actions of my life could have been substituted for that one day that Abu Bakr had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would have substituted them. Upon occasion, Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu anhu, when he was the governor of a certain place, he said, a man is giving us a hard time. He wrote a letter to Umar ibn Khattab, and he said, a certain man's giving us a hard time. His name was Abu Dubba al-Muhsini. And Umar radiallahu anhu summoned him. And when he came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu began to rebuke him. He said, why are you giving Abu Musa a hard time? What's your problem? And Abu Dubba said, listen to my side first. He said, Abu Musa, when he gives the Jummah khutbah, he praises Allah, he sends salutation upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he makes dua for you. But he doesn't make dua for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he began to cry. He said, he doesn't make dua for Abu Bakr. Then he said, Abu Dubba, you are right and he is wrong. And you are right to object upon him. For I swear by Allah, if all my actions and all the actions of my family could be substituted for one day and one night of the life of Abu Bakr, I would substitute them. And then he said, do you know what that one day is? He said that one day was the day that he spent with the Prophet ﷺ in the cave. If all my actions could be substituted for that one day, I would substitute them. And do you know what that one night is? I'll mention that night later on. And then after the third day, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had hired a person called Abdullah ibn Urayqit as their guide. And he was an expert guide. He was a mushrik at the time, but he was an expert guide. And the ulama deduce from this that if you have a non-Muslim who's an expert in his field, it is still, and he's trustworthy, then you can hire him. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had kept two camels. And he told Abdullah ibn Urayqit that bring the camels after the third day. And upon the third day, Abdullah ibn Urayqit brought the camels. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, this is your camel. And the Messenger of Allah said, no, I will not take the camel until I pay for it. And the Prophet ﷺ insisted. And then he paid for it. And the ulama write, the reason why the Prophet ﷺ insisted upon paying for it was because he wanted to attain the reward for the hijrah. This is why the Prophet ﷺ paid for it. And the narration mentioned that when they were on the hijrah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at times he would walk in front of the Prophet ﷺ. Then all of a sudden he would run to the back of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he would run to the right of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he would run to the left of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Bakr, what are you doing? Sometimes you're in front of me. Then all of a sudden you run to my behind me. Then you run to my left and then you run to my right. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, look at this love. He said, O Messenger of Allah, when I think about somebody may ambush you, I run to the front. And when I think that somebody might attack you from the back, I run to the back. And when I think that somebody might attack you from the right, I go to the right. And when I think that somebody might attack you from the left, then I run to the left. That he would run on all sides. And what the mushrikeen had done is that they had put a booty upon the head of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we will give anybody who brings the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dead or alive, we will give him 100 camels. And therefore there were many people looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the person, he recognized Abu Bakr. And he said, Abu Bakr, who is this with you? He said, who is this man with you? And listen to the words. So Abu Bakr was an exceptionally talented person. And the reality is that when you become Allah, and Allah becomes yours, then Allah becomes the tongue by which you speak. Allah becomes the eyes by which you see. Allah becomes the hands by which you hold. Allah becomes the feet by which you walk. And the person asked, Abu Bakr, who is this man with you? And Abu Bakr said, Hadha Hadin Yahdini. He said, this is a guide who is guiding me. And the man thought, well, he's a person who's guiding him on the path. But what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu meant was that this person is a guide who's guiding me towards Allah. This is a man who's guiding me towards Jannah. And then a person spotted Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he went back to his people. And he said, I've just seen a person by the sea, and I'm sure that is Muhammad and Abu Bakr. And in that gathering there was a person called Suraqa ibn Malik, and Suraqa wanted to attain the booty himself, so he said, no, I know who that is somebody else, that is not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is somebody else. And then what Suraqa did is that he discreetly left the gathering. He went home, he took his sword, he mounted his horse, and then he went into the pursuit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Suraqa mentions that when he came close, he fell off his horse. And Suraqa had never fallen off his horse before that day. So what the mushrikeen would have, they would have these arrows. And on these arrows, they would have, do it, don't do it. And he pulled the arrow out, and they said, don't do it. He threw it away. He pulled out another arrow. It said, don't do it. He said, forget the don't do it. I want the 100 camels. And he went into the pursuit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentions that there were one person who kept on looking back, and the other person, he didn't look back at all. And he mentioned that I came closer and closer and closer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the one person kept on looking back, and the person who kept on looking back was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And when Suraka came closer, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to cry, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Oh Bakr, what are you crying for?" And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "O Messenger of Allah, it is not my safety that I'm concerned about, but it is your safety." And then Suraka mentions that I came so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I could hear the recitation of his Quran. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated, and the four legs of Suraka's horse sank into the ground, and he fell off his horse. And Suraka before that day had never fallen off his horse. And today he's fallen off twice, and then he mounted his horse, and then he went in the pursuit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he fell off his horse again. And then he mounted his horse again, and then he went in the pursuit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he fell off his horse again. And then Suraka knew that this man was something special. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked on like if nothing had happened. He didn't even bother looking back. And Suraka called out. He said, oh Muhammad, wait. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around. And Suraka said, oh Muhammad, give me an aman. Give me security from your behalf. And the Prophet ﷺ said, we will give you security on the condition that you cover our tracks. And Suraka said, agreed. And the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr ﷺ to write him a letter that they would give him aman. And when Suraka was walking away, the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Suraka, how will it be that a day will come and you will be wearing the bangles of the Kisra? You will be wearing the bangles of the man who was the leader of the superpower of that day. And Suraka must have thought, what's this man speaking about? He's running to save his life, and he's telling me, his enemy, that a day will come and I will be wearing the bangles of the Kisra. And Suraka, when he went back, he met a group of people. And they said, have you seen Muhammad and Abu Bakr? And Suraka said, no, I've been down this path and there is nobody down there. And he mentioned that in the morning I left with the intention of killing Muhammad, and in the evening I left protecting him. In the evening I left protecting him. In the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, by that time Suraka had become a Muslim. When the Muslim defeated the Persians, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said, all the jewels of the Kisra, the Persian emperor, Umar radiallahu anhu called Suraka. And he took those bangles and he placed them on the hand of Suraka. And he told Suraka, lift your hands high so the people of Medina can see that the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come to pass. And Suraka lifted his hands high and he walked all through Medina. When they were on the hijrah, they came to a house which belonged to a person called Abu Ma'bad. And Abu Ma'bad was out, but his wife Umm Ma'bad was at home. And the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Umm Ma'bad, do you have anything to give us to eat or anything to drink? And she said, all our goats are out grazing with Abu Ma'bad. We have nothing at home. And the Prophet ﷺ saw a goat, a thin goat. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what about that goat? And Umm Ma'bad said, she didn't know this was the Prophet ﷺ. She said, that goat is so frail and so weak that it can't even leave the house. And this is why it hasn't gone grazing. And can you see any meat on it? And the Prophet ﷺ went and he touched this udder. And the narration mentioned that the tongue became full of milk. And then the Prophet ﷺ milked it, and he gave it to Umm Ma'bad, and then he gave it to Abdullah ibn Uraykid, and then he gave it to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then finally the Prophet ﷺ drank himself. And Umm Ma'bad, when she became a Muslim, she mentioned, Ibn Sa'd relates in his Tabaqat, that this goat died in 18 Hijrah. And he mentions that never was there a time, we would milk it in the morning and the evening, and it would always bring forth milk for 18 years. And when other goats would dry up, this goat would never dry. This was the barakah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they reached Medina. Journey took 12 days. Inshallah, if Allah gives me tawfiq, I'll give a long, detailed talk on the hijrah itself. It's a very interesting, the lesson that you can derive from the hijrah. And it took them 12 days. And every day what the Muslims would do is that they would come to the outskirts of Medina to see if the Prophet ﷺ had come. And they would come in the morning and they would go back in the evening. And on that morning, the first person to spot the Prophet ﷺ was a Jew. And he said, "Oh Muslims, your messenger has come." And all the Muslims came out. And then the Prophet ﷺ was sitting there, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was fanning the Prophet ﷺ, and then they understood who the Prophet was and who Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was. And they remained in Medina for a number of years until the verses were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَصَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. When the help of Allah comes, then you will see the people entering into the fold of Allah in armies. In armies. And when this was revealed, the Muslims were joyful. They became elated. They were celebrating. Whilst all the Muslims were celebrating, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sat to the corner and he was crying. Because they were celebrating at the first part of the surah, and Abu Bakr was crying over the latter part of the surah, because the latter part of the surah says, "Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir innahu kana tawwaba," speaking to the Prophet ﷺ, do the tasbih of Allah and do his hamd, praise Allah and ask for istighfar. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood that this was regarding the Prophet ﷺ, that this was an indication toward the Prophet ﷺ that it was his time to go back to his Lord. And therefore all the Sahaba, and the Sahaba mentioned that whilst we were rejoicing, Abu Bakr was crying. We couldn't understand why Abu Bakr was crying for. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood that this was an indication that the final days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had come. And about 15, in some narration 15 days, in some narration 17 days before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he spoke to Abu Muwahiba and he said, "I have been commanded to go to Jannatul Baqi, and Allah has commanded me to do istighfar for the people, Jannatul Baqi." And when he was returning from Jannatul Baqi, he turned to Abu Muwahiba and he said, "Abu Muwahiba, I have been given an option either to remain in this dunya and then meet, go to Jannah, then meet my Lord. Live until the final hour and then meet my Lord and go to Jannah. Or I have been given the option to go to Allah now." And Abu Muwahiba said, "O Messenger of Allah, remain in this dunya so we can remain seeing you. Remain in this dunya, then go to Jannah." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "No, it is a sunnah of the Anbiya that when Allah calls them, they reply. When Allah wants to meet them, they want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And the narration mentioned that night when the Prophet ﷺ came back and he went to the house of Aisha, and Aisha radiallahu anhu was saying, "Wa ra'sa, oh my head, what pain." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wa ra'sa." He said, "No, Aisha, what pain I have in my head." And the Prophet ﷺ, health began to deteriorate every day. Until 4 days before his demise, he led the Maghrib Salah. And when he led the Maghrib Salah, and Isha time came, and the health of the Prophet ﷺ deteriorated, and he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, "Have the believers prayed?" And Aisha radiallahu anha said, "No, Messenger of Allah, they're waiting for you." She said, "They're waiting for you." And the Prophet ﷺ requested some water, and he had a bath. And when he wanted to go out to the masjid, he fainted. He became unconscious. And when he gained consciousness, he asked Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, "Have the Muslims prayed?" And she said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you." And then he requested some more water. And he did ghusl. And when he intended to leave the house, he fainted again. And then when he gained consciousness, he asked Aisha, "Have the Muslims prayed?" And she said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, they're waiting for you." And then he called for some more water. And he did ghusl for the third time. And he stood up to leave. And he became unconscious again. And Bilal radiallahu anhu came in and he saw the Messenger of Allah. He said, who can I pray to? For today my back has been broken. I swear by Allah, I wish that my mother had never given birth to me. And if she had given birth to me, I had died before seeing the Prophet ﷺ in this state. Who was Bilal? Bilal radiallahu anhu was that person that when he was about to die and his wife said, wa husna, what sadness, what grief. And Bilal radiallahu anhu said, wa farha, no, what happiness, what gladness that I will tomorrow meet the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. And Bilal is saying today, he's saying, I wish my mother had never given birth to me. And if she had given birth to me, that I had died before seeing this day. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Muru Abu Bakr, falyusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr to lead the believers in the prayer. And Bilal radiallahu anhu, he went out and he told Abu Bakr to lead the believers in the prayer. And Bilal radiallahu anhu began to give the zan. He said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Then he said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And when he said, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, because when he would say this, the Prophet ﷺ would come out and he looked and there was no Prophet ﷺ. And Bilal began to cry uncontrollably. And all the Sahaba began to cry uncontrollably. Some narration mentioned that all of Medina began to cry uncontrollably. And then when he had given and finished his adhan, he told Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to the musalla. He was about to stand on the musalla and he saw the prayer place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam empty. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to cry and he became unconscious. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in his room and he asked Fatima radiallahu anhu, he said, what's the commotion? And she said, oh Messenger of Allah, in your absence Abu Bakr has become unconscious. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was carried by two sahaba and he led the believers in salah. He led the believers in salah. And the next morning he told Bilal radiallahu anhu, tell Abu Bakr to lead the people in salah. And Aisha radiallahu anhu said, oh Messenger of Allah, my father, he's soft. When he sees your absence, he finds it very difficult to lead the people in salah. He can't lead them when he sees your absence. And the Prophet ﷺ said, tell Abu Bakr, Muru Abu Bakr, fal yusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr to lead the people in salah. And then Aisha radiallahu anha told Hafsa, who was the daughter of Umar and the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, she said, oh Hafsa, tell the Prophet ﷺ to tell your father Umar to lead the prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Muru Abu Bakr, fal yusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr to lead the people in salah, because he wanted the people to know that if there was any person who was worthy of leading the believers in salah other than the Prophet ﷺ, it was Abu Bakr. He wanted everybody to know. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he led the believers in 17 salahs. In 17 salahs, he led the believers. And 2 days before the Prophet ﷺ passed away, he felt a bit better. And he came out of his room and he was being carried by two Sahaba. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leading the prayer. And when the Sahaba saw that the Prophet ﷺ had come in, they became elated. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wanted to move back. And the Prophet ﷺ indicated that he should carry on leading the prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ sat by his left side. What honor! Wallahi, what honor! Who was the Prophet ﷺ? The Prophet ﷺ was that man that when he went to Baytul Maqdis, when he went to Masjid Aqsa, all the Anbiya from Adam to the final Nabi was there, and the Prophet ﷺ led them in prayer. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had the honor of leading that Prophet who led all the Anbiya in Prophet in Salah. This was the honor that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this was the status that Abu Bakr had in this ummah. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in salah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after this, he sat on the pulpit. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person has been given the option. He has been given the option of this dunya and the hereafter. And he has chosen their hereafter. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he heard this parable, he began to cry. And he said, فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأَرْوَاحِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, may our souls be sacrificed for you, Messenger of Allah. May our souls be sacrificed for you, Messenger of Allah. And Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu mentioned, we found this strange. Why is Abu Bakr crying for? The Prophet ﷺ is only giving example of a man who has been given the option of remaining in the dunya and the akhirah, and he has chosen the akhirah. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood that the Prophet ﷺ was speaking about himself. He understood, and he said, فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأَرْوَاحِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَدَيْنَاكَ بِأَرْوَاحِنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, may our souls be sacrificed for your Messenger of Allah. May our souls be sacrificed for your Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he saw Abu Bakr, began to cry uncontrollably. He said, أَلَا رِسْلَكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْر. He said, calm down, Abu Bakr. He said, calm down, Abu Bakr. And then he said, that whoever has done a favor upon me, I have fulfilled that favor. I have repaid that favor. Besides the favor of Abu Bakr. For Abu Bakr, Allah will fulfill his favor on the day of judgment. For Abu Bakr, Allah will repay his favor on the day of judgment. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا لَتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. He said, if there was any person that I was to take a friend in this dunya, it would have been Abu Bakr. وَلَكِنْ أَخُوَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ. But the brotherhood of Islam will suffice. The brotherhood of Islam between me and Abu Bakr will suffice. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, all the doors around the masjid should be closed, illa khawkhata Abi Bakr, besides the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because the Sahaba's house were around the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every single person's door should be closed besides the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And even if you go today in Masjid Nabi, you will see Khawkhatu Abi Bakr, the door of Abu Bakr. It's there today. This was where the door of the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the status of Abu Bakr, really. Look at the khutbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving his final khutbah, and he's saying, whoever has done a favor upon me, I have repaid that favor. Besides the favors of Abu Bakr, Allah will repay his favors on the day of judgment. And if I was to take a friend in this dunya, that friend would have been Abu Bakr. But the friendship of Islam between us suffices. And then he said, close all the doors around the masjid, illa khawkhata Abi Bakr, besides the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This was the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the day the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at Fajr time, he felt better. And he stood up and he opened the curtain, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leading the believers in salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw this, when he saw everybody united behind Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he became happy when he saw that the believers praying salah with khushu and khudu. He began to smile, and when the Sahaba found out that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was smiling and he was happy and he was watching them, the Anas radiallahu anhu mentioned that it was close to the Sahaba breaking their salah because they came so excited. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Atimmu salatukum." He said, finish your salah. "Atimmu salatukum." He said, complete your salah. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, you are feeling better. Can I go to visit my wife who lived on the outskirts of Medina?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted him permission. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to the outskirts of Medina on that day, the health of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam deteriorated. Abu Bakr may have not been there to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pass away, but where did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pass away? Where did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pass away? He passed away in the house of the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this is why Aisha radiallahu anha says that it is the favor from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in my house. He passed away on my turn. He passed away when he was lying between my chest and my neck. And the final thing which went into the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ was my saliva. Because when her brother Abu Bakr, Abdul Rahman came into the room, the Prophet ﷺ was looking at his miswak. And she understood that the Prophet ﷺ wanted the miswak. And she took the miswak and she softened it. And then she placed it in the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ. And she's saying it's a favor of Allah that the final thing which went into the stomach of the Prophet ﷺ was my saliva. And when the Sahaba found out about the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, what happened? What happened? Usman radiallahu anhu could no longer talk. Ali radiallahu anhu could no longer walk. There was a Sahabi that when he heard about the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, he made a dua to Allah. He said, "Oh Allah, after today, I don't want to see anybody. Allah, take away my eyesight." And Allah took away his eyesight. Umar ibn Khattab, mountain like Umar ibn Khattab, crumbled upon that day. And he said, whoever says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, then I will behead him, for he is a munafiq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has only gone to meet his Lord, like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to meet his Lord and he came back. Whoever says that the Prophet ﷺ has passed away, I will remove his head from his body. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he found out about the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, the narration mentioned he mounted his camel and he was crying and he was saying, "Wa Muhammada, Wa Muhammada, Wa Muhammada." And when he reached the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke to nobody and he went straight into the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. And he removed the cloth from the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, "Ya wa Nabiya, wa Safiya, wa Khalila." He said, "O Nabi of Allah." He said, "O my beloved, O my friend. Tibta hayyan wa mayyatan ya Rasulallah." He said, "You are beautiful in life. And indeed you are beautiful in death, O Messenger of Allah." And then he went out and Umar radiallahu anhu was standing there and he had his sword drawn and he was saying, "Whoever says that the Messenger of Allah has passed away, I, Umar, will remove his head from his body. I, Umar, will remove that munafiq's head from his body." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "Ala rislika ya Umar, ala rislika ya Umar." "Umar, calm down, Umar, calm down." And Umar carried on. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stood up and he gave his famous khutbah. He said, "Man kana ya'budu Muhammadan fa inna Muhammadan qad mat, wa man kana ya'budu Allah fa inna Allah hayyun la yamut." He said, "Whoever worshipped Muhammad, then let him know that Muhammad had passed away. And whoever worships Allah, then know him that Allah lives forever. That no death comes upon Allah." And then he recited the ayah. He said, "Muhammad is but a messenger. And messengers came before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he dies or he is killed, will you then turn on your heels? Will you then turn on your heels?" And Umar radiallahu anhu mentions that when Abu Bakr recited this ayah, then I understood that the Messenger of Allah has passed away. And when I understood this, then my legs could no longer carry me and I fell to the floor. And it was as though that this verse had been revealed on that day. Although this verse was revealed when? On the day of Uhud, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the news spread that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, and the Sahaba became very concerned, and many of them left the battlefield. And then Allah revealed this ayat that Muhammad is but a messenger, and messengers have come before him. So if he dies or is killed, then will you turn upon your heels? Will you turn to leave the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ali radiallahu anhu says, "May Allah have mercy upon Abu Bakr. May Allah have mercy upon Abu Bakr. For I swear by Allah, if there was to be any other Khalifa than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then this deen would have been destroyed." And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says, "Khatabana Abu Bakr wa nahnu ka tha'alib. وَمَا زَالَ يُشَجِّعُنَا حَتَّى صِرْنَا كَالْأُسُودِ." He said that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave us the khutbah and we were like foxes. We had lost our path. And he kept on encouraging us and he kept on giving us strength until we returned to being lions again. This was who? This was Abu Bakr, the soft-hearted one. This was Abu Bakr, the thin man. And I often say, why did Abu Bakr cry? Because he had cried his crying. Really, he had cried his crying. He had cried when Idha Ja'a Nasrullah wal Fath was revealed. He had cried when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his khutbah. So when everybody didn't cry, Abu Bakr cried. And he had cried his crying. And when it was time for him to be a man, and it was time for him to destined to be the next Khalifa, then Allah gave Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that soft-hearted person, the himmah, the strength, to stand up where mountains like Umar ibn Khattab crumbled. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who follow the precepts of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who have an iota of the love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannah al-Firdaws. Subhanahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.